الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمد عبده ورسوله صلوات الله وسلامه عليه أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله تعالى وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. Brothers and sisters in Islam, for the one who has chosen freely to become a Muslim and he has made a conscientious decision to enter into the fold of Islam, he needs to understand that every single thing that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has ordered him to do, that is wajib and obligatory upon him. He must understand that it is his job to take the statements of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Whether or not those orders are in accordance with his desires and his nafs and his hawa, or whether they are against his desires, his nafs and his hawa. As for the Muslim who takes the text of the Sunnah and the Quran, and that which is in accordance with what he likes, he takes, and that which is in disaccordance, he leaves, this person does not deserve to be called the mu'minun haqq. He is not the true believer. As Allah Ta'ala has told us in the Quran, when he said in Surah An-Nisa, ayat number 65, فَلَا وَرَبِّكَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ حَتَّى يُحَكِّمُوكَ فِيمَا شَجْرَ بَيْنَهُمْ ثُمَّ لَا يَجِدُوا فِي أَنفُسِهِمْ حَرَجًا مِمَّا قَضَيْتَ وَيُسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا. Allah Ta'ala tells the Prophet, by your Lord Muhammad, these people do not believe. They do not have true iman until they call you Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to be the judge in all of the affairs that they disagree. The affairs that they disagree with themselves, between themselves, or what they disagree with in their own hearts. They do not believe until they call you to be the judge. And then they willingly submit to what you have given as a judgment. With that being the case, ikhwan, we know that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he has left for this ummah many wafaya. And the wafaya are the instructions that the Prophet has told us about sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The advices and admonitions that he has given us in his authentic sunnah. And we are responsible to follow and to obey these instructions. And because there are so many, we're going to now, insha'Allah ta'ala, in the next few khutbahs, embark upon explaining and dissecting some of these wasaya, in the hope that Allah ta'ala will give us the tawfiq to practice them. Today's wasaya is concerning the hadith that you're all familiar with. A hadith that's been reported by Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and collected by Al-Imam al-Bukhari. Abu Hurairah said, أن الرجل سأل النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فقال يا رسول الله أوصيني فقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لا تغضب فردد مرارا قال لا تغضب. The man came to the Prophet and he said, O Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, give me a wasiya, give me some instruction. The Prophet said to this man, do not become angry. And he continued to repeat that statement to the man. Every time the man would say, okay, I understand that, give me another wasiya, the Prophet would say, don't become angry. This hadith, ikhwan, as you know, whenever the person comes, and he is coming in search of, and he is coming to act from his own accord, we know that the speech that he hears, he's going to pay more attention to it, because He is king to get the benefit. He's the one who left his house to come to you. Unlike the one when the guy goes to, hey, maybe you want to listen, maybe you won't want to listen. So the Prophet, knowing this, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he could have told this man many, many were fine. But because he found his nafs, he found this man's nafs and his desire, keen to get some benefit, the Prophet said, do not become angry. We find the wisdom in that, ikhwan, because this ghadab or this anger consists of all of the evil. All of the sharr, you can find it in the ghadab. And all you have to do is look at the person, how he behaves when he's upset and when he's angry. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he has warned us of the evil effect of anger and its danger over 14 centuries ago. And now we find today that the doctors of medicine, they told you brothers and you sisters who are afflicted with heart trouble and who are afflicted with high blood pressure, those of you who are diabetic, after the doctor tells you what he has prescribed for you, he tells you, لا تغضب, because his anger will harm your body. We need to understand, ikhwan, that there are two types of anger in Al-Islam. One anger that is mahmoud, it is praiseworthy, and Islam orders with it. And it is from your aqidah. And the other type of anger which is maghmoud. And this is the ghadab that the Prophet was talking about in this hadith. The anger that is blameworthy and not accepted in Al-Islam. As for the first type of anger that every Muslim should possess, it is the anger when you see one of the limits that has been ordained by Allah tabarak wa ta'ala being transgressed again. The Muslim has to become angry. And if he doesn't become angry at this time, his iman is suspect. His iman is naqis, deficient. And this is something that we see with all of the anbiya of the Quran, as Allah tells us about his prophet Musa when he said in Surah Al-A'raf, ayah 150. وَلَمَّا رَجْعَ مُوسَىٰ إِلَىٰ قَوْمِهِ غَبَّانَ أَسِفًا قَالَ بِحْسَمَا خَالَفْتُونِي مِنْ بَعْدِ. When Musa came back to his people after being with Allah, he came back angry and sorry for what they did, and that they made the calf to be worshipped. Also our mother, Aisha Umm Abdullah bint Saddiq, radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, she said, in an authentic hadith, مَنْ تَطَمَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ لِنَفْسِهِ فِي شَيْءٍ قَلْبٍ إِلَّا أَنْ تُمْتَهَتْ حُرْمَةُ اللَّهِ فَيَنْتَظَمْ. The Prophet never ever ever became angry for himself. He never ever sought revenge for himself. But when the rights of Allah were transgressed, then he took revenge. Then he took revenge. So we look at the Sunnah of the Prophet, and we cite some examples, so that you, Abdullah and Amadullah, will know when and how to become angry for Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. In the famous hadith of the lady from the Quraysh tribe, from the tribe of Al-Makhdumiyah, the lady stole something and got caught. So the Quraysh felt embarrassed that the rest of the Arabs were going to say, a woman from Quraysh stole something, how'd you get her hand chopped off? They said, let's make intercession with the Prophet. Let's bribe the Prophet. They said, but who can go to the Messenger of Allah to talk to him about such an affair? They chose Usama ibn Uzayh. Usama ibn Uzayh, who was like the grandson of the Prophet, like Hassan and Hussein. So Usama went to the Prophet and said, let the lady off the hook, O Messenger of Allah, she made a mistake. The Prophet alayhi salatu wa salam became angry and he said, Usama, atashfa fi hadda min hududillah. Do you try to intercede when one of the rights of Allah has been transgressed? Innama min kana qablukum idha sariqa fihim sharif tarakuh wa idha sariqa fihim al-da'if aqamu alayhi hadd. وَالَّذِي نَفْسِي بِيَدِهِ لَوْ سَرِقَتْ فَاطِمَةُ بِنْتُ مُحَمَّدٍ لَقَطَعْتُ يَدَهَا. He said, those people were destroying with before this ummah. Those ones who, when an honorable person came and he stole, but he did something wrong, they allowed him to go because of his stature in the society. And if the weak one and the oppressed one did something, they would establish upon him the hajj. I swear by Allah, if Fatima, the daughter of Muhammad, saw, I'll chop her hand off. Another example of the Prophet's anger is when our mother Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha said to him concerning our other mother Safiya. Safiya, who was a former Jew. Safiya, who was a short woman. Safiya, who was a fat woman. And we pray and ask Allah tabarak wa ta'ala to enter us into Jannah with Safiya to go visit her one day to remember this day. Radiallahu ta'ala anha. Aisha said to the Prophet about Safiya, Ya Rasulullah, hasbuka min Safiya. Oh, Rasulullah, isn't it enough that Safiya is a little lady, she's a midget? The Prophet said to this woman, Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, لَقَدْ قُلْتِ كَلِمَةً لَوْ مُزِجَتْ بِالْمَاءِ الْبَحْرِ لَمَا زَجَجْتِ. Aisha, you have put forth a statement that if you were to take this word and put it in the ocean, it would change the color of the ocean. It would change the smell of the ocean. So here is why we find the most beloved people to the Prophet, Aisha, and his daughter Fatima, and his grandson, or who was like his grandson, Usama. Whenever they transgressed the limits set by Allah, the Prophet ﷺ did not allow his relationship with them to prevent him from saying the truth. So we understand from this, Abdullah, that when you are in the presence of those Muslims who are not religious, you should become angry when you see them selling pork and wine. You should be angry when you see the Muslim woman not wearing the proper Islamic hijab. You should be angry when you see the Muslim man being a chump and shaving his beard out of fear for kuffar. You should be angry when you see the Muslim who's not practicing hijab. You should be angry. But likewise, it's why we should also be angry with those people who are close to us, our friends, who when we sit in their presence, they backbite the other Muslims. Those people, when they sit in our presence, they talk about affairs that have nothing to do with them. Those people who we are close to, who steal the money of the Muslims. You should also be angry as it concerns to them. And you should order with the ma'ruf and prevent the munkar. As for the anger that's haram, that's the anger that takes place when something is said to one of us, and because of our desire, we have a problem with the statement. We have a personal problem with the person because of something that they say or do. But it has nothing to do with the deen. It's because he tells you something is right, and you don't understand it like that. So you disagree with him, and you become angry with him, and you become enemies to him. The Prophet said, "La tazhar." It's not permissible for you at this time to become angry. When the person comes to you, and he says to you, Ya Abdullah, what you're doing is not permissible. Because the Prophet said, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, such and such a thing. And you say to him, I don't understand it like that. And you become angry. This is the anger that is mazmoom in al-Islam. This is the anger that is not permissible in al-Islam. But now we need to ask the question. Here we are, all of us are human beings. And the Prophet himself, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, إِنَّمَا أَنَا بَشَرٌ أَغْضَبْ كَمَا يَغْضَبُ الْبَشَرُ. Verily, I'm a human being. I am not a part of Allah. You do not have to worship me. I am not from the light of Allah. Verily, I am a human being. You should not celebrate my birthday in this month. You should not raise me higher than I deserve to be raised. I am a human being from the women of Quraysh. I eat on the floor like the rest of the human being. I die like the rest of the human being. I go to the bathroom like the rest of the human being. I am not to be worshipped. He said, verily I am a human being, and I become angry like the rest of the human being. So what happens, ikhwan, with one of us? Because of this human experience, we're going to become angry. What has al-Islam left for us and taught us as far as our behavior is concerned when we become angry? There's anger that's haram. The Prophet ﷺ has explained to us many things. Because of him knowing the fact that anger is haram. And Allah has spoken the truth when he said about the Prophet as it relates to us, when he said, لقد جاءكم رسول من أنفسكم عزيز عليه ما علمتم حريص بالمؤمنين حريص عليكم بالمؤمنين رؤوف رحيم. Verily there has come to you people a prophet from amongst yourself, a human being. He is not a melech, he is not a king, he is not an angel. There has come to you a human being from amongst yourself. It grieves him and it harms the prophet that any hurt should befall you people. Any hurt should befall you. So he has told us, when one of you become angry, he said that the first thing that the abd should do when he becomes angry is that he should seek refuge in Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. During the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there were two companions who argued. And the Prophet said to his companions concerning the one who was the most angry, he said, verily I know a word that if you go to tell this beast, this person about it, his anger will subside. All he has to do is say, A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. When they went and told the man what the Prophet said, because he was so angry, he said to the people, what, you think I'm crazy? Don't tell me that. You think I'm crazy? So I say to the average one of you, when your wife becomes angry with you, or another brother becomes angry with you, have someone to say to that person, say, A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. The majority of the people, their response will be like that man. He'll say to you, I'm not going to say it. Get out of my face. So the Prophet said, for those of you who want to make your anger subside, simply to say, A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. But it may be that the thing that has harmed you or made you angry, this small word is not enough for you. Then the Prophet has told you, if that's your case, he told you to go and to make wudu. Because he said in the authentic hadith, إِنَّمَا الْغَضَبْ مِنِ الشَّيْطَانِ وَإِنَّ الشَّيْطَانِ خُلِقَ مِنْ نَارِ وَإِنَّمَا تُطْفِئُ النَّارِ الْمَاءِ فَذَا غَضِبَ أَحَدَكُمْ فَلْيَتَوَضَّأْ. Verily this anger is from shaitan. It's not from Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Verily this anger is from shaitan. And shaitan has been created from fire. So if one of you become, and verily water extinguishes the fire. So if one of you becomes angry, then let him make wudu. And this third point, Ikhwan, we want you brothers and sisters to pay attention to. Because this is what we find most of the people not doing here. The Prophet told us, if you become angry, you should control your tongue. And you should watch what you say. Because it's at this time of anger that we find the majority of you divorcing your wives the third time. When she can't come back to you after that. It's at this time that we find many of the sisters wanting to pick up a knife to stab their brother. It's at this time that we find many of the people, when they become extremely angry, they start to say things to their pregnant wife like, I hope you lose that baby. The Prophet ﷺ was traveling with some of his companions. So the man was on his horse and his horse threw him to the ground. He got up on the horse and he said, may the curse of Allah be upon you. Now go forth. The Prophet ﷺ said to this man, when they were prepared to go out to fight, you cannot come with us with that horse. You have to get another horse. We will not go forth with something that has been cursed. Then he said to the same man and to us, لا تدعوا على أنفسكم ولا تدعوا على أولادكم ولا تدعوا على أموالكم لا تورث من الله ساعة يسأل فيها العطاء فيستجيب. He said to this man and to us, do not make prayer or dua against yourself. When you have a calamity, something happens to you, don't say, may I be destroyed. I wish I died. Do not make dua against yourself. And do not make dua against your children. All you have to do is go into the homes of the Muslims. And when the child whose intellect is still incomplete, when he does something wrong, you'll find the mother saying to him, Ya Hima, hey ass, jackass, Ya Kurt, you dog, Ya Hayawan, you animal. If your child is an ass, then what does it make you? If he's a dog, then what does it make you? If he's an animal, what does it make you? All you have to do is listen to the sister. how they say to their children, may Allah make you blind, to their children. And then he says, do not make dua on your money, your property, when you have a car, and it won't start, or give you trouble. It's your money. Don't make dua against it, because the Prophet said, it may be that one of you may ask Allah, at the time that the dua is accepted, you may ask something, and as a result of that, Allah will answer that dua. So the Prophet did not allow that man to go with them, because when the man asked for the animal to be cooked, maybe he asked Allah at a time that Allah will accept the dua. So maybe the animal becomes sick with a disease that will affect all of the animals in the Jama'ah. Don't allow that to come. And this is one of the ways that the evil eye comes to one of us. So do not make dua against yourselves, ikhwan. And do not make dua against your baby, nor against your money. Finally, ikhwan, the Prophet ﷺ told us, إِذَا غَضِبَ أَحَدُكُمْ وَهُوَ قَائِمٌ فَلْيَجْلِسْ فَإِنْ ذَهَبَ عَنْهُ الْغَضَبُ وَإِنَّا فَلْيَسْتَجِبْ. If one of you becomes angry and he's standing up, then let him sit down. When he sits down, if his anger does not subside, then let him lie down. Again, ikhwan, here, you'll find when the man is upset and he's standing up, he's more prone and more apt at that time to lash out and to grab, to swing, to throw something. At that time, that he's most susceptible to harming himself and someone else. So the Prophet told you, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, at this time, sit down. Because if you're sitting down, it's going to be more difficult for you to lash out, to hit your wife. It's going to be more difficult for you to choke your child. And then yet, if your anger still is prevailing, then lie down. Obviously, you won't be in a position to do anything. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us to control our anger. This anger which is destroying the family. This anger which is destroying the brotherhood of the community. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us cognizant of the danger of anger. How many times have we been in the car, only to have a cab run us off the road, and then the possibility of the road rage takes place between you and someone who doesn't care about the fact that you'll go to prison for 15, 20 years. Someone who isn't worth it to lose 15 years of your life to be in prison. You all know of the young brother who was killed. The captain was killed by a group of Muslims. And obviously everyone couldn't have killed the person. A young brother, 17 years old, 18 years old, 15 years in prison now because of anger. 15 years to be incarcerated because the people got angry. You mean to tell me that he couldn't do something better with those 15 years than to be in prison? For something that he didn't even do, not even his fault, a crime he didn't commit, he's innocent. Anger. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the tawfiq in this life and the next life. أَقُولُ قُولِ هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهِ وَلَكُمْ وَنَسْأَلُ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى السَّدَادَ وَالتَّوْفِيقَ. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلوات الله وسلامه على نبينا الكريم وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن تمسك بسنته بإحسان إلى يوم الدين أما بعد. Brothers and sisters in Islam, last week after the khutbah we made an appeal to the brothers and the sisters concerning some of the help that we needed to continue to maintain our masjid, us collectively, our masjid. And for the first time since this masjid, Brixton, has been built, we received from the generosity of the brothers and sisters in this community almost £1,000 for the first time. Almost £1,000, which is a clear indication that we have the money. Which is a clear indication that we have the money. But sometimes we just need to be encouraged to take the money out so that we can get some benefit for our own selves, yawm al-qiyam. We're not going to come before you continuously, brothers and sisters, making this appeal to the masjid. But again, we say to you, this masjid is in dire need. We're at a very sensitive stage in our development and our progress. And this week in particular is a very sensitive time in the life of this masjid Brixton. So we're going to ask again from the brothers and sisters in Al-Islam, those of you who realize that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has told us, مَا نَقَسَ مَالٌ قَسْ مِنْ صَدَقَةٍ. Money has never become deficient because of sadaqah. Anyone who gives and he has 10 pounds and he gives 8 pounds, 5 pounds, he should not look at his pocket as being decreased by 5 pounds or by that which he has given. The Prophet said the money is never decreased by sadaqah. But instead, you should consider what you gave, that which has left, as being at least 10 times more in your pocket, up to 700 times. So we're going to ask you, brothers, without begging, honorably making an appeal to our brothers and sisters in Islam, to please give to the masjid, because again, we're at the crossroads. We're at a sensitive time in the development of the masjid. So with that being the case, we also want you, brothers, to know that alhamdulillah, the brothers here at Brixton are going to put on tomorrow or Sunday an aqiqah for the three brothers who you gave the money to. And your monies were also responsible for totally taking care of those aqiqah. So we are calling all of you people out who are present today to come back Sunday, inshallah ta'ala, to partake in the brotherly love that has been established from this sunnah. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to solidify for us the ties of brotherhood, to make us of those people who truly understand the importance of sticking up for one another and sticking by one another. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to continue to make the Muslims generous and to continue to bless us. We say this and we ask Allah by His greatest name, the name that when He's called on it, or He's called by it, He answers the invitation. أَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ وَنَسْأَلُ اللَّهَ تَبَارَكَ وَتَعَالَى التَّوْفِيقَ وَالسَّدَادَ.